episode of the Filthy Net Deckers podcast. I'm your mythic ranked host, Nate. I found this month to be pretty easy to reach the plateau of mythic. I was able to easily move up the ranks by playing Mono Green Devotion or Selesnya Angels. I'm joined, as always, by my, I'm not sure if I'm reading this right, Platinum 1 ranked co-host?
Yeah, I guess.
Tony, yeah. Don't you like Mono Green? Don't you like Angels? Why are you not mythic like me?
Wow.
I know you're a better player than I am, so really there's no excuse for you not to be moving up. Wow, you clearly wrote this intro.
No, what do you mean? This is all off the cuff for you.
This clearly. Is oh yeah, all off the cuff.
Good thing that was like take 7 of the intro. Anyway, I do enjoy both those decks, but what can I say? I'm a sucker for bad decks. I really am. I see an Urbrask's Forge in a deck, and I just love that card. I want to play it. I see Skrull's Hive in a deck, and I want to play that too. Or maybe reanimating Atraxa on, like, turn 5? Come on, sign me up for that. Absolutely. Doesn't really work out usually, but the benefit is I get to play a lot of different decks, learn a lot of different ways to play Magic, and kind of fight through the obstacles that I've made myself by playing bad decks. The consequences, though, obviously, I don't rank up nearly as fast as I would if I just played a deck that was consistent at winning constantly. I get bored playing the same thing over and over again. You know that. I mean, we've always talked about this from the beginning. I feel like I'm just not learning anything new, you know? Like, if I play a deck for, like, 40 times, that's a lot for me. So when I find a deck that's great at winning, wins with, like, a lot of different lines, and it plays differently against a variety of different decks, those are the ones that I stick with, and then I'll rank up super fast. This kind of sounds like a casual upgrade, but I swear it's not. This is just the way it's been this week for me. Like, I've been playing a lot of bad decks, and this whole month has been like that.
I understand. I don't know. I think Standard has just been boring for me.
I think Standard's been amazing, actually. I think it's the best format on there right now. The variety of decks is crazy big.
I don't know. I'm just not having fun with Standard, and I haven't for a while. It isn't even, like, the current Standard. How long have I been on these two decks?
Yeah, you've been playing these two decks for a long time. I assume it's because you enjoy these two decks, though.
But I do enjoy the two decks. I also enjoy many decks. You know that. I just like you, I do like playing a bunch of different decks. Just nothing has been calling to me recently. That's all.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, either way, we've got a full podcast for you today. We're going to start out with our fan favorite segment, FND 101, the segment that lets us talk about the week, you know, to each other, basically. We're going to move on to casual upgrades after that. That's the part of the show where we help you enjoy the game of Magic just a little bit more. Then we're going to move on to our Magic News of the Week segment, where I know we'll be talking about battles at least, because they just got spoiled, and we want to talk about them. And then we're going to finish up with our Decks of the Week, where we talk about, well, I guess what not we've been playing, because we're actually going to do some Explorer talk.
Yeah.
We're going to go over some top eights that happened. And it's going to be fun. We're going to go over some deck lists with you. Mm-hmm. FND 101. Nate, what'd you do this week?
Well, it was my mother's birthday this week.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, so I took her out to eat. She was like, let's go to this restaurant, Charlie's. It's right around the corner from your house. And I'm like, all right, sure, let's go there. We pull up and the place is closed. And I'm like, oh, you've brought me here before. She goes, I've never brought you here before. I'm like, no, I've been here before. And I have no idea how I've been there before.
Interesting.
Ever have that where you just, you're like, oh no, you have like a memory of a place, but you're like, I don't feel like I've ever been here. No one I know would have been like, hey, let's go to this place in Goffstown. You know what I mean? No one I know would bring me there.
Weird.
But the only thought I have is Kira. Is that maybe Kira and I had breakfast there one time, but it was before I moved here. Because if it was when I moved here, it was close enough to my house that it would have been memorable for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? That makes sense.
Yeah, but my mom's birthday was good. She had a good day. We had fun.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
What about you? How was your week?
My week has been nonstop.
Yeah?
Since forever. Like, I don't remember the last time I've slept well. Because it's just been been so much. So, Friday, I got a text from Justin Lyonnais. He's a pro bowler that I'm friends with. And he's like, listen, I need you to fill in on my pro team tonight. Can you fill in on my pro team? The Friday Night Pro League is very hard to get into. So I was like, yes, yes, I will do that. So I got my opportunity to finally bowl, you know, with in the hardest league that there is in candlepin bowling.
Wow.
And now granted,
Cody, normally I give you crap, but I'm actually impressed.
So, I mean, one way you got to look at it is there were only two starters on this team of five. And so they already were on, you would have thought the third fill-in. But no, they actually asked two other people first, and they had both said no, and then it was me, so... because
fifth
I...
Fifth on the list?
I was at least fifth, you know, that I know of. I was fifth. And it was right up the street from me at Riverwalk Lanes, which is cool. So I show up, and the other team is... I know everybody on the other team. Like, oh, Tony! And, you know, they're, like, you know, meeting me, and, like cool, this is gonna be fun. And the team I was on is apparently in dead last place by a long distance, you know.
Makes sense that while you're on it, then.
Correct, exactly. but I was the best bowler on my pro team.
Wow, awesome.
Yes, and granted, the other team was significantly better than us. But I beat the guy I was bowling against.
Good.
And I beat everyone on my team. So it's fun.
Why don't you try to get into that, and then instead of playing the top of the amateurs, go play the actual pros?
Well, because I was still the fifth best bowler there, so no matter what, I'm going to be on the bottom there. But I would definitely do that.
Actual pros.
Yeah, I would join that. I just have to get an invite, and you know, it's tough to get into that level. It's $45 a week. And if you don't make even the playoffs, you don't get any of that money back. So think about it. $180 a month to lose, it would be bad. Ooh, so...
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
But if I got... If a team wanted me to join them, I would probably join just...
Yeah.
But it's so hard to get into it.
But see, I'm sure you could be like, look at my TikTok followers. How many people watch me play TikTok?
If you don't think that's a reason why I get invited to some of these things.
Do you think it is?
Well, we recorded that night, and I had 80,000 people watch.
What? 80,000?
80,000 people watched that. And
holy crap.
It was a 3-hour match, and it went very well. For my TikTok page, yep.
Wow.
I made a couple highlight reels out of it, and I edited it all down, so if you wanted to watch, it's like an hour and a half long instead of the 3 hours, so that way you're not waiting for the stupid stuff where balls are coming back or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it went well. So, I think I made a good impression.
That's crazy, dude.
So that was Friday night. Saturday, I coached the kids' league, and then I wanted to edit those videos down, and you know more than anyone how much editing takes time.
Mm-hmm.
I took a 3-hour long video and condensed it to an hour and a half.
Ooh.
Nate, how long do you think that took me?
4 hours?
I wish. It took me over 6 hours to do.
Yep.
With processing time. And, you know, because the processing alone took at least an hour.
Oh my God. Oh my God, dude. I hear ya.
And then I had to get music, and I had to download that in because I didn't want the commentator to be there. So it took me about 6 hours to do. And then I had a birthday party I went to that was a lot of fun. And then I went to go see Third Eye Blind on Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
Yep, yep.
Silly Charmed Life.
That's...
And their other hit.
Yeah, sure. I had a blast at Third Eye Blind. It was just basically to see live music again. I enjoy live music. I love being out there. And it's so crazy. Like, me and my son went. And my son's friend, Ramona. And Ramona's older sister went with us.
Okay.
This was my best friend in the fourth grade.
That's funny.
I'm just... We're shocked still that, you know... Mm-hmm. We have
your kids.
My son is her sister's friend, mm-hmm. and they get along great. They're always hanging out too.
That's funny.
So I don't know if it has something to do with the genetics or what, but
small world.
It really
especially
is,
in that, especially where you live. I found when I lived there, it was such a small world.
It's a very small town. So I mean, that stuff like that's going to happen.
Everybody knows everybody.
And then Sunday morning, like without, we stayed out till 12:30 is when I got home. Mm-hmm. You know me again. I get up at 2 a.m. most days, so 12:30 I do not see, ever. Mm-hmm. And I bowled twice on Sunday, which was terrible. I should not have done it. I bowled terrible. And then this whole week I've been getting ready to, we're taking 88 kids from Haverhill, Mass. To Bangor, Maine.
You're stealing 88 children from Haverhill, Mass.?
Well, we're taking their parents, too, so.
And their parents?
Yeah, yeah, we're kidnapping, like, 240 people. It's going to be insane. we rented out a hotel, and we're running a tournament up in Bangor, Maine this weekend.
Nice.
Should be a lot of fun, but it's also going to be very stressful.
Are there players from Bangor, Maine playing as well?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, a bunch of kids, because it's a youth tournament. So I won't be able to record it, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to get ready for that. I'm on vacation for my work next week. Nice. So I'll be able to recover, finally.
Good.
But that's been my week. Like, bowling, in Third Eye Blind. And that was a 3-hour Third Eye Blind concert to listen to 2 songs that I knew.
There was another one you knew? That's, I think, the biggest surprise.
There were actually 4 songs that I recognized. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was very shocked, and they all played them right at the end. Weird.
I'm going to have to go into iTunes and pull up Third Eye Blind and listen to the top 4 songs by Third Eye Blind to see if I can't figure out if I know any of the other ones.
I bet you would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we can move on to casual upgrades if you want. Does that sound good to you?
Let's do it, yeah.
Transformers, more than meets the eye. Go along with the theme of the day. That's, you know, not bowling. Dex.
With the theme of the podcast? The Filthy Net Deckers podcast?
Yeah, but we don't always just talk Dex. We talk about a lot of other things.
Yeah, it's true.
So as I said
before... Sometimes it's bowling.
What? Are you talking
Sometimes
to me?
It's bowling.
Sometimes it's bowling. With me, yeah. Can be. So as I said before, I play a lot of bad decks. This, like, really for many reasons. Few I've stated before... But I also kind of, like, want to know what's actually a good card or not. I like to play them to kind of figure it out. Mm-hmm. I think this gives me an advantage when I look at a deck list that someone shows me, and I see that someone's gone really deep on a strategy that I've tried out before, and I can see, like, how it plays out in my head just by looking at the cards. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine how, like, you know, maybe they put in an interesting card. I can kind of, like, see, okay, how would that really work? And I kind of, like, play it out in my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And if they put in a card that I know is useless, I kind of try to figure out, okay, let's take that one out. What if I add in this thing? And it's basically the way it is. I basically say play some bad decks, play with different strategies. It makes you a better player in the long run. But
is this your excuse for asking people why did you put that in the Discord? Is this your like reasoning behind why? When people put decks in the Discord, you're like, why are you running this card?
Yes, and that's 100% what... So, yeah, basically that's where this came from. Friend of the show, Matt.
Love you, Matt.
Yeah, Matt's great. He put a deck list in the comments, in the deck list channel. And I always like to try out them. You know, they're not always good. Sometimes they are. But this one in particular played both tablets. Tablet of Completion and Tablet of, I don't know, whatever the other one is, the oil counter one.
Okay.
And I'm like, why are you playing these? Like, one of them is the, like, pay X life and something happens. Like, you're going to die before you can do that. And it was 4 of both. And I don't even own all of these cards. Like, I've tried one, and it was so bad.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I love it when you just agree. That's awesome. So let's move on to our minnow. Our magic new news of the week.
Okay. We got some news this week, Tony. Where are we starting? Because I'm excited.
Let's start with the most fun thing.
Okay.
Let's start with the new cards.
Let's start with battles?
Yes. Yeah, battles, of course.
All right. Let's start with the big battle.
The one that was originally done?
Yeah, the big battle. Invasion of Zendikar.
Yes.
All right. So, first of all, battles are a tapped card. Let's talk about that real quick. They're a sideways card.
They're not tapped, though, right? They just come in sideways?
Isn't that tapped? Isn't that what tapped is? Is sideways as compared to untapped? This is a legitimate question I have. Are these permanents tapped?
No, they're not tapped. They are up. They're right side up. But they just happen to be in portrait or in landscape mode instead of portrait.
Sure,
because they're tapped. In order for a thing to be tapped, it has to be physically moved. I mean, you are tapping it. These just come in sideways.
There's going to be confusion. There's going to be questions is the only thing I'm pointing out here. I agree these are untapped, but they're tapped. So Invasion of Zendikar. 3 generic into green. Battle, siege. Battles have types.
Yes, and these ones are all, in this set at least, all sieges.
Yeah?
Yes.
They're all going to be sieges in this set?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if all battles are sieges.
But all battles in...
In this set, at least.
In March of the Machines.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. As a siege enters, choose an opponent to protect it. You and others can attack it. When it's defeated, exile it, then cast it transformed.
So okay. this is interesting. So you
words there.
You can then counterspell the other side, correct?
It says then cast it transformed. So yeah, I would say the other side could get countered.
Interesting. That's
100%.
That's very interesting thing to happen.
It says as it enters, makes sense, choose an opponent to protect it. All right. So this is your permanent, right?
Correct.
You control Invasion of Zendikar. Okay, and then you choose an opponent in a heads-up game, in a one-on-one game, on Arena. It's your opponent. It's always going to be your opponent in Arena. You and others can attack it. That's for, Commander.
It's 100% for Commander, yeah.
Knowing what all of this does, does there seem to be any reason for others to attack the battles?
I can't think of a reason why they would.
Because you wouldn't really want to give your opponent in a game a bonus. Because the backside's always a bonus, I'm assuming. It's always seemed to be a bonus so far. So
I would assume the only reason you would attack that if you were somebody else was to help that player.
Mm-hmm. So, unless the battle has an ongoing effect.
Yep, that too, sure.
Currently, none of the battles we have do have an ongoing effect. They're all enter the battlefield effects, but that doesn't mean that some later might not.
If you're playing Two-Headed Giant, you might do it.
Okay, no, because I'm assuming, so let's go, you choose an opponent to protect it. What does protect it mean?
It means that they have to defend it. They have to put their creatures in front of it.
Blockers. Yep. So, which means you and others can attack it. That means on your attack step, you can choose your creatures. My creature is going to attack a player, a planeswalker, or a battle. Or participate in a battle.
You know what I mean?
So they can go to one of the... They can attack either a planeswalker, a battle, or a player. When you deal this Invasion of Zendikar here has 3 defense counters.
Hey, we know what defense counters are now.
Yeah, it doesn't say defense counters anywhere on this. I'm assuming the 3 in the corner is for defense counters because of what Mark Rosewater said on our last podcast.
Yes.
He didn't say it on the podcast because he wasn't here, but it was his article.
He was hanging out with me the whole time. He told me.
Oh, okay. See, he told him. Okay. Yeah. So I'm assuming you attack these like you would a creature. Creatures can attack these. Can you bolt this? Can you play Invasion of Zendikar and then lightning bolt it?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Anything that says it can target anything can target these.
Okay, awesome.
So you can definitely bolt the invasion of Zendikar.
Invasion of Zendikar enters the battlefield. You give it to your opponent. They can defend it. If they have no creatures, and you have a 3-3 creature, you can just attack right into this battle and defeat it right away.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So now, let's see what this does. Now that I think we figured out how it works, right?
It's actually a lot easier to, like, understand than I would have thought.
We're making it seem? Oh, than you would have thought?
Yeah, because, like, all of a sudden, you know, it's something you can attack, and then it transforms into something else and has abilities. Like, that just sounds very difficult. It reminds me of a weird planeswalker. Like a planeswalker you give to your opponent.
It's a planeswalker? It's a little bit like a saga?
Yeah, a little bit.
You know what I mean? Like the sagas that transform from Kamigawa. The sagas that the third time it comes back transforms. Reminds me a little bit of those. This says, when Invasion of Zendikar enters the battlefield, search your library for up to 2 basic land cards, put them onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. For 3 and a green, that's awesome.
That is a very good rate. That is what I expect to be paying for that.
That is a really good... That's a decent magic card right there.
Yeah, yeah. That's explosive Vegetation.
Look at that. We got it at the same time.
That's a great card. And it's a normal... To have this in standard is going to be a very strong card, and you just get more. Like, it's not just an explosive vegetation.
And like I said, in green decks, you're dropping at 3 your old growth troll that's a 4/4 creature. You swing in, you play on 4 Invasion of Zendikar, you get your 2 extra mana, you attack into it, and it automatically flips, and now you have the backside. And the backside is a 4/4 creature with vigilance and haste. As long as Awakened Skyclave is on the battlefield, it's a land in addition to its other types. Tap, add 1 mana of any color. Wow, that's awesome.
Does it affect landfall? Because it says when it's on the battlefield, so I don't know if it enters as a land. You're the judge, so I figured I'd ask you that.
Yeah, correct. Exactly what you said. It doesn't enter the battlefield as a land. It says when it's on the battlefield, it is a land.
Okay.
So I would say it probably doesn't enter as a land. It enters as a creature elemental.
Okay, interesting.
Because if they wanted it to work that way, they could have just easily put land creature elemental.
I don't think they can.
Why not?
Because... what's the green one? The
Dryad Arbor?
Dryad Arbor. That's just a creature, but it's a forest also. It doesn't say land on it. And you can't cast a land. And since you cast...
Maybe the cast is the reason why
you
go around it then.
Yeah.
It's because it's the cast part. I would say it doesn't trigger landfall. Okay. Well, we'll see when the rules come out. I'm sure it will tell us.
Yeah. Well, so we'll just... tell me next week, because I'm sure we'll know by next week.
Hopefully.
Okay.
This is really good, right?
This card, course.
This card is really good, right?
And this is... What is this? Is this a mythic rare?
This is an uncommon.
Excuse me, what?
This is... Explosive Vegetation's an uncommon.
Yeah, I know it is. And then you get all of this upside?
An uncommon, yeah, dude. Yeah,
wow.
This is great. This is a great card. This card will very much be played. This card will be played in Commander 1,000%. Like, Explosive Vegetation can get removed from your Commander deck and replaced with Invasion of Zendikar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Already a better card. You know what I mean? This is strictly better Explosive Vegetation. So good. Do you think the other invasions are as pushed?
I'm assuming so. We've seen some more sieges. We don't know what's on the backside.
Okay, what? They're all invasions.
They're all invasion. Yeah. Yes.
These are the cards we talked about last week on Mark Rosewater's list that said... names of planes in names of cards that we've never used before, these battles are them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Invasion of Zendikar is one of them. But we also have, there's five others we know of. Invasion of New Phyrexia, Invasion of Ikoria, Invasion of Ixalan, Invasion of Fiora, and then, how do you pronounce this? Ergamon?
Ergamon. Invasion of That's Ergamon? How I would pronounce it, yeah. I've never heard of Ergamon before.
I also have never heard of Ergamon. But these all are, you know, battle sieges. We got almost all colors. We don't have one for white, blue, red, black, green. No, we've got all colors here, but not monocolor for everything.
True. Is there going to be more of these? Do you know?
I have no idea. I'm going to assume so.
Okay.
I'm going to assume that right now we know of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2 uncommon, 3 rare, and 1 mythic. There's going to be more uncommon, probably.
Yeah, just as another question, do you think the 40-card set coming out after March of the Machine is going to be just different invasions and battles and stuff like that?
I have no idea. I don't think so, because we already have one card, and it was the death of the Kenrix thing.
Oh, true. You're right.
So it isn't only going to be that?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see if I can find Death of the Kenrix real quick. So many Magic cards have come out since they released.
Right.
When did they announce that?
That it was a while ago.
Was it before March of the Machines came out? I mean, before.
I don't remember.
All Will Be One came out.
I don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have
these. What were you gonna say?
You go. You go.
I was just gonna say these battles are all. Pretty much, I think all of these are pretty good.
They all seem playable for their mana cost.
Invasion of Fiora. 4 black-black battle siege, 4 defense counters. When Invasion of Fiora enters the battlefield, choose one or both. Or both? Choose one or both?
Yes, right?
Destroy all legendary creatures, or both. Destroy all non-legendary creatures. That's a wrath. A six mana wrath in black is a little bit expensive. Being able to give you options of whether it's, you know, two different things, that's on par, right? What was the black Crux of Fate there?
Yep, that was five.
5 mana?
It was.
5 mana to destroy all dragons or non-dragons, but you get a backside with this. This is good. Black will run.
And it didn't say or both.
Correct. Correct. And black, mono black will run this card.
Yeah, I could see it definitely running this card. And the thing I like about it too is it's then going to be something else after. So yeah. If you have just a legendary creature, you could just say, you know, all non-legendaries, and then just attack in and get whatever attack creature this is.
With your legend with 4 toughness. With 4 power, I mean, and take this out and flip to a 3/6 creature. These battles all have, like, the little reminder text that, like, flip cards have to show you, like, the power and toughness of the creature on the back. So, like, yeah. This one says 3/6. The only one that doesn't is Invasion of New Phyrexia.
Yeah, so we don't know what's on the backside of that.
Which tells me, and what I really find interesting is we know Invasion of Zendikar, Invasion of Ergamon, Invasion of Fiora, Ikoria, and Ixalan. We know all of those. The invasion is the Phyrexians invading these planes. And then Invasion of Zendikar, we know the backside is Awakened Skyclave, and the flavor text reads, Nahiri tried to bend Zendikar to Phyrexia's will. In response, the world rose against her. Describes the card, right? Invasion of Zendikar, Nahiri is invading Zendikar, and then in response, the world rose up. So the response to the invasion is this big creature.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's going to be the basic story of Ergamon, Fiora, Ikoria, and Ixalan, right?
Yeah, you would think so. Like, Zendikar in particular, the world kind of is a living thing.
Correct. So the world would rise up. In Ergamon, it's going to be a specific creature. In Fiora, it's going to be, you know, it's a 3-6. Icorius is 8-8. Icoria is X green green. When Invasion of Icoria enters the battlefield, search your library and or graveyard for a non-human creature card with mana value X or less and put it onto the battlefield. You may, if you search your library this way, shuffle. This is really good.
It's so good.
That's like Green Sun Zenith?
Yep. Yep, costs one more, like, but...
One more mana for a Green Sun Zenith? Of course, this battle has a toughness of 6.
Yeah, it does. Defense of
6, so it's going to be tough. But it flips into an 8-8 creature. We don't know what else it does. We just know it's an 8-8. But even at that,
so
it's a big creature.
Every mono-green devotion deck is going to be playing this one card, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is so good.
Because, first of all, you still control it, even if your opponent is protecting it.
I believe so, yes.
So that's going to help your devotion by 2 automatically. And you're getting an old growth troll for 5 mana, we'll say.
Ooh, ooh.
It just seems really strong in that deck, too.
Yep. No, you're right.
And then it's going to turn into an 8-8 of some kind. Invasion of Ergamon seems like a decent card. It's red and a green. That's it. Just 2 mana.
Wow, yeah, that's not bad.
It's got 5 defense counters, so quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It says when it enters the battlefield, create a treasure token, and then you may discard a card if you do draw a card.
Sure.
I mean, 2 mana, discard a card, draw a card has always been a thing.
And you get a treasure token.
And so you get a treasure out of it now.
Yeah, so it helps pay for it. It's not bad at all.
No, not at all. I just see this and then going into the 4 mana, discard 2, draw 2. Mm-hmm. That gives you 2 treasures after this. And I don't know, I just see this into, going crazy.
What's that card that every red deck runs? This into Fable of the Mirror Breaker?
Yes. Yep. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen all the time.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think all of these battles are amazing.
100%.
Yep. Yeah, we got a new ability, too, called Backup.
Backup?
Back up. This one says back up 1. When this creature enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. Obviously, it can be itself. It can be a different creature. If it's another creature that you put it on, it gains the following abilities until end of turn. And then it whatever the creature happens to have. I'm assuming what it means, right?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly how I would read that. Is it would gain the text of the card. So, the one we have here says, Flying First Strike Lifelink.
So, not only are you getting a 4-4 Flying First Strike Lifelink for 5 mana, which is Sarah Angel on steroids.
Yep.
And then you're giving something else Flying First Strike Lifelink and a +1/+1 counter.
Or if you have nothing, it itself is a 5-5.
Yes.
Let's hope you never have to do that. But... Because that's such bad value. But you can do that.
I mean, I think it's a fine value. It gains
the following abilities until end of turn. So gross.
I think that's a fine value. Like, a 5 mana flying 5-5 first strike lifelink? Isn't that... Yeah,
but when you can give something else flying first strike and lifelink for a turn, that's all.
No, I mean, I get that. But the one with protections from Angel and Demons, isn't that a 5-5 for 5? With flying, lifelink, and first strike? Mm-hmm.
Baneslayer Angel?
That's the one. So this is a Baneslayer Angel, at minimum, except for the protection.
Except for the 2 lines of flavor text.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
And then you get the Archpriest of Shadows, which is a 5 mana 4-4 also with backup. And it gives Death Touch, which is cool. And whenever this creature deals damage to a player or a battle, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Oh, that's gross.
That is so gross.
Especially when they're like, all right, I can swing. I don't have any blockers, but all they have is a piddly 1/1 creature right now because I destroyed their big creature. I destroyed their big creature and gave them a 1-1 in replace of it. You know, something like that. And you're like, all right, Archpriest of Shadows, swing in with the 1-1, hit the battle, and bring back that big creature again.
So one of the people in our Discord, Connor, was just talking about how he was going to make a like a prized amalgam deck, basically.
Yep.
If you have this card, and then you play it on a creature that can't be blocked, we'll say, mm-hmm. and then you bring back a random creature,
and then prized
and then prized amalgams all come back. And so, like, I can see the 1-1 that can't be blocked creature and can't block.
Yep.
And then you just put the counter on that for a turn. Mm-hmm. And you're bringing everything back. And then anytime the Archpriest attacks, you get the same thing.
Yep.
Just seems so good.
Death Touch, so blocking is going to kill anything.
And then if it dies, then you could just bring it back later. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds so good to me. That card seems so strong to me.
Does seem very strong.
Do we have any other new abilities?
Incubate.
Incubate.
We have an ability called Incubate. So we've got a card here called Merciless Repurposing. 4BB instant exile target creature Incubate 3. So, you know, for 6 mana you get to exile a creature.
Yeah.
And you get to Incubate 3.
I don't know what That's Incubate all. 3 means, but 6 mana to exile a creature.
Incubate 3. It's Incubate 3, Tony. All right, so Incubate, if you want me to explain that to you.
If you don't mind.
Ugh. All right. Create an incubator token with 3 +1/+1 counters on it, and 2, transform this artifact. It transforms into a 0/0 Phyrexian artifact creature. Okay. That does not really make a lot of sense.
No. You know, none of that makes sense to me.
Reading that like that, I understand how people can be confused. By people, I mean you, Tony.
First time I read this, I was very confused by this.
I saw the token first and then read what it was, and everything made sense because I got to see the token first. So I understand why reading that, it makes very little sense. So an incubator token is a token artifact incubator. It isn't a creature.
Oh, okay, okay.
So you're not getting a creature off of it. You're getting an incubator. You're getting an egg. You know, like a dragon egg. That we've done. Eggs have been in Magic before like this. They're just calling it an incubator. And then it has 2, transform it, and it transforms into a 0/0 artifact creature.
Now, the thing that I think people are going to get confused by is it does have the 0/0 on the front. As a reminder text?
The reminder text of 0/0 on the front might be confusing for some people.
And I think that if people don't know what's going on, that could be confusing right there. Mm-hmm. I don't think it should be where it is. Because it's down near where the 0/0 would be.
I understand.
Yeah.
That being said, is this any good? Are these creatures any good?
Is this one good? Okay, so let's look at it as a 6-mana 3/3 creature that when it enters, exile target creature. That seems okay. I mean, it's not that.
You're right, it's not that.
But if you look at it that way, I think this card's fine. If you look at it
that way, it's an 8-mana.
But you get to spread it out over. Mm-hmm. And you get the exiling part first. You get the creature after with haste when it, you know, does come in.
Oh, that's a real good point. That's a real good point, because the incubator, as long as the incubator has been in play since the beginning of your upkeep, when it turns into a Phyrexian, it will have haste.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't have haste, but it won't be affected by summoning sickness because of the rules of some of how magic works.
Yeah, so
it's tough when it's a creature. When it's something turns into a creature, but because you're transforming the artifact, the same thing is there the entire time. It's not exiling and coming back, it's just flipping. That's why the counters on it get to stay on it, too. It's an interesting little piece of magic technology that they've built into the game, where all of these things exist, like transforming creatures exist. you know, putting +1/+1 counters on artifacts that are creatures exists in Magic. You know what I mean? Tokens exists in Magic. All of these together make for a very interesting game piece.
Yeah, I kind of like the fact that we're getting the new token artifact. Because we've had other token artifacts a lot recently.
Blood, Clue.
Food.
Food.
Treasures.
That's another big one. Treasures, yep.
And they've all been pretty good.
Yep.
And so...
No, you're right. Like, even Blood, you already said it. Even Blood, which isn't very good, is good.
It's still good. Yep.
It's playable. You're not like...
And Blood, I think, is the worst one.
Correct. Blood is worse than Incubator, I think.
Yeah, I agree, too. So...
You know, I can see these Incubator, you know... Where's my Incubator Wrath? Wrath, Incubate 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be a strong card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that really would be.
Wrath, destroy all creatures, Incubate X, where X is the number of creatures destroyed.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be a good card.
Mm-hmm.
I just see this with the Black Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And...
With the Black Invasion?
Invasion of Ooh. Fiora.
Ooh.
Okay, so you're going to do it, and then you can just flip... You can exile everything.
Destroy all creature, all legendaries, all non-legendaries.
And then just...
And then pay two, transform, and swing in.
Yep, and then flip it right away.
And... We know that coming back in this set is a fan favorite called Proliferate. No, Proliferate isn't in this set.
No.
Proliferate was in the last set.
Yes.
That's what I know. Proliferate was in the last set. And these incubator tokens, these incubators, even if they're not creatures, they've got the +1/+1 counters on them. So you can... Excuse me. So you can... proliferate onto these as well. So that way they can be getting bigger as they're incubating. I love it. It's great. It's flavorful as hell. I love it.
Yeah, I think this set's going to be awesome.
And they purposefully didn't put any +1/+1 counters in the last set. They made everything oil, and even places where it would be a +1/+1 counter, they just said it gets +1/+1 for each oil counter on it, because
yep.
they wanted it to all be oil. And now to be like, all right, now we're coming back with +1/+1 counters, so you can be doing your proliferation from the last set with this set. This is what I like with Magic sets, when it doesn't have to be a story between three different sets, but at least let the abilities affect each other. Let
yeah.
the abilities from the previous set affect this set. Because these are kind of... This isn't really a block, but this is kind of a block.
What, one thing,
Dominaria for quite a while.
One thing I'm really going to want to do is use like an evolving adaptive, which we talked about, the oil counters, where it should have been +1/+1 counters.
Yep.
And then I'm going to back up onto it. Right? And so it's going to have a +1/+1 counter and an oil counter.
And then you're going to proliferate.
And then I'm going to proliferate.
Then it's going to get two.
Oh, God. I can't wait for that. That sounds like... This sounds like a bad deck that I want to play.
And while you're doing all of that, you're going to play the card Kame of Whispered Hopes.
What is that?
Two and a green. Two and a green for a 1/1 creature spirit. If one or more +1/+1 counters would be put on a permanent you control, put that many +1/+1/+1 counters? Wow, that's tough to read.
That was. I didn't think you read it right, but I'm like, no, he's yeah, that is correct, yes.
Are put on that permanent. Wow, put that many +1/+1/+1 counters are put on that permanent instead. So it's, why can't I think of the name of the card?
Snack.
One green mana.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, that too. Hardened Scales is what you're thinking.
Hardened Scales. It's Hardened Scales plus a 1/1 creature for 3 mana. Come on, tap, add X mana of any one color, where X is Kami of Whispered Hope's power. Ew, okay, so that's going to get gross.
See, I immediately, I know Hardened Scales is the one that people think of. I still think of Widening Constrictor when I see that.
Yeah, no, Hardened Scales.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I didn't play with Hardened Scales, but I played with a lot of Constrictors.
Yeah. That's really good. So you want to throw that into your dumb deck you're coming up with.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I will. And then I'm going to play the other one, the the botanical brawler also, so that way it gets stuff. It's a green and a white for a 0/0 creature with trample. It enters with two counters already. And then, whenever one or more +1/+1 counters are put on another permanent you control, if it's the first time +1/+1 counters have been put on that permanent this turn, this thing gets a +1/+1 counter. I can't see from that far away, okay? He's making fun of me, guys.
Always. His face was all the way up to the camera, so we were almost kissing.
Almost. Almost kissing, yes. From across the miles, we were almost kissing.
From different states. Will you kiss me on the border of New Hampshire and Massachusetts?
Wow.
All right, do we have any more news?
Do we have any
more cards we want to talk about?
I don't want to talk about any more cards.
No, I don't either.
There's some commander cards that look awesome, but...
Yeah, commander cards look awesome. There's a couple other battles that look good, too. What else, Tony? What else we got?
So you can start pre-ordering March of the Machines already.
You can already, huh?
Yep, starting today, you can start doing it.
Nice.
Maybe even yesterday, but we'll say today.
We will say today. Today.
So, Explorer. We're doing a lot with Explorer soon. The Arena Championship is going to be Explorer, and so the qualifiers are going to be an Explorer.
Okay. All right.
And I know how much you love Explorer.
I do.
So this weekend, they're doing qualifiers. So this week is a... I don't know if this is best of one or best of three this weekend. But then the following week is the other one.
So 1 week is best of one, the next week is best of
three. That's the way they usually do it. It doesn't say it, though. Let me click on the link.
Are we talking about April qualifier events?
Yep.
It says qualifier of best of one, April 1st, 6 a.m.
Okay.
Format Explorer, and then best of three is April 7th.
Yep, so this week is best of one, next one best of three. Best of four.
Okay. And so, best of one gives you up to, what, two or three losses?
Usually it's two losses.
Two losses and seven wins?
Yep.
Okay.
So I know you've got the decks for it.
I play that Angels deck quite a bit in Explorer, that is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That is for sure.
Isn't your Mono Green Devotion one also?
It's historic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The card I run in it that it is different the Ley Line. And yeah, I'm too used to running it with the Ley Line. I don't know the play patterns without it. Okay. Not that I don't know the play patterns without it. It's that I prefer the play patterns with it.
Okay.
You don't know how many times I've won games by just tapping 8 and adding +1/+1 counters to creatures.
Oh, absolutely.
And then untapping Nykthos and then doing it again. And then going to combat and attacking and then doing it again mid-combat. So much fun.
Gross. Absolutely gross. But I think that's the only arena news we have this week that needs to be talked about.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be much else on here. One other thing I want to point out personally, this says Acorns in April. Check with your local game store for a pop-up event from March 31st to April 2nd called Acorns in April. The event embraces the zany fun of the Unfinity and Unsanctioned sets. So if you're a fan of this set, check with your local game store. Participants in the Acorn in April's event who use the Magic the Gathering Companion app join, be sure to log into the app with the same Wizards account you log into MTG Arena, and you will receive the Space Bellerin sleeve in your Arena inboxes approximately 1 week after participating. So, if you want to get Space Bellerin sleeve in Arena, which, come on, why not? Go play some Mon sets at your local game store.
Yep, So this was the first time I had heard about it, because I had just made a bunch of events through my store. You know, I went through and I made all the pre-releases and I did all that stuff. This wasn't even there on Monday.
Really?
Yes. Otherwise I would have, you know, done it. So I literally just had to set it up today on my day off, you know, from working there.
What are you guys doing?
We're going to try. I'm going to set it up so that way if people do want to do it, it'll be a sealed event. What they want you to do is take an unsanctioned pack. You know, it's got whatever, and then three unsets packs. And then mix them together. Okay. Or, you know, in a sealed. And if we don't have any unsanctioned boxes, then it's six packs sealed. That's what Wizards wants us to do.
Just be a sealed event, then?
It's a sealed event, sure.
Interesting.
Yep.
I might try to check that out. That's this weekend, right?
Yeah. It is this weekend. That's why it was like, oh my god, I didn't do this, yeah. I didn't...
Acorns in April. Good luck, everyone. Have some fun. Get your Space Bellerin sleeve.
Yes. So, since people are going to be playing some Explorer, you want to go over some Explorer deck lists?
Yeah, why don't we? You know, with the qualifying events coming up, you know, let's go. I say we find a tournament and we look at the top, you know, eight. Look at the top eight. Go over them real quick.
Okay. Have you ever heard of the Pizza Box Open?
Through MTG Melee?
Yes. Yeah. They run them all the time.
All the time.
And they happen to have one this past week that had 148 people.
If you're looking for, you know, very high-end magic, if you're looking for tournament magic on Arena, definitely check out MTG Melee. Because I've played tournaments through them, and they do really good. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it in quite a long time, but yeah, they do real good.
So, you want to start from 8 to 1 or 1 to 8? I was thinking we start with 1.
Start with 1, yeah. I got 1 open right here.
Okay, excellent.
1 is Gruul Midrange.
It is?
You've played Gruul Midrange decks before. I've played Gruul Midrange. This is the type of deck that Tony and Nate both enjoy.
Yes, it is. Yes, I have played this almost exact same deck many times.
Yeah, take out the card from the newest set, and the flagship. I don't think I've played it with Counselor Flagship.
Okay.
That's an interesting add, and I don't think I've played it with the Acroan War or Obliterator Bolt.
So, the list is 4 Elvish Mystics, 4 Land of War Elves, 3 Skooze, 4 Bonecrusher Giant, 2 Lovestruck Beast, 4 Reckless Stormseeker, 2 Miglaws. That's the new one that I have not played with yet.
Miglaws, it's one. Alright, so this is a colorless, a red, and a green for a 4/4 legendary Phyrexian Beast. Alright, already I'm loving this card.
Yep.
It enters the battlefield with 5 oil counters on it.
That's so many oils.
Pay 1, remove an oil counter from it. It gains vigilance and menace until end of turn. Holy crap, I love this card. Pay 2, remove 2 oil counters from it. It gets +2/+2 until end of turn. Pay 3, remove 3 oil counters from it. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. Okay, this is a good card.
It really is.
A very good card.
In draft, the card is unstoppable. It's so good.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. That's disgusting.
Yeah, and then it's got 3 Obliterating Bolt, which does, 4 damage to something? For 2 mana, if I remember right.
2 mana, deals 4 damage to target creature or planeswalker. If that creature or planeswalker would die, exile it instead. Not bad.
Yeah. 3 Sky Sovereign Consul Flagship, 4 Asika's Chariot, 3 Acroan War.
Do you know what isn't in this deck?
Clothis.
Clothis. Do you know what else isn't in this deck? Kazandu Maneth.
Oh, thank God, right?
Yes, we're past the bane of Kazandu Maneth.
You know what is also not in this deck?
What?
Fable of the Mirror Breaker.
This is red.
It's red. And it's not playing Fable. Weird, right?
Very weird. Wow. And they came in first place?
And they won, yes.
Wow.
So maybe just fair magic is good still in Explorer.
Maybe, because this very much is fair magic. Sideboard, this was best of 3, so sideboard has like 4 Rending Volley, 3 Stone Brain, 2 Outland Liberator. I hate this card.
Liberator?
It gets me so many times. If I am playing Brawl, and this card is played on turn 2 on my opponent's turn, I scoop.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because I don't play anything, and then it turns over to the other side, and all it does is attack and destroys all my artifacts. Yeah, this is like an auto-scoop for me. This dumb little uncommon is an auto-scoop for me in that deck. Two Unlicensed Hearst. The Jyngatha's in the sideboard, because that where it belongs. Clothis is in the sideboard. One Acroan War, and one Luca Bound to Ruin.
Seems so good.
This is a deck both Tony and I could easily import into Arena and probably do really well with.
I will 100% be downloading this deck and playing this deck, because it looks like a lot of fun, and it's my style.
Yeah, I will probably be joining you in there. All right, Tony, what's the next deck?
Second place was Rakdos Midrange. Big surprise here. It's the standard deck. It's got two Lily of the Vale, four Bonecrusher Giant, four Blood Tithe Harvester, four Fable of the Mirrorbreaker, because it's a red deck, two Graveyard Trespassers, three Sheoldred, two Misery's Shadow, two Kroxa, Titan of Death's Hunger, four Fatal Push, four Thoughtseize, one Heartless Act, one Duress, one Go for the Throat, one Reckoner, Bankbuster. And then the sideboard has Lily of the Vale, two Extinction Event, one Ritual of Soot, two Go Blank, one Legion's End, two more Duress, one Nauseous Grasp, one Abrade, two Rending Volley, a Reckoner Bankbuster again, and an Unlicensed Hearse.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's Rakdos Midrange.
This is Rakdos Midrange. This is...
No part of this looks fun to me.
No, same.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not my style. I thought it was before, and once I started playing it, it's not for me.
Yeah, no, certainly not my style deck either. My style deck...
Is third place?
Would probably be the third place deck, which says Celestia Angels. Ooh, what do we got? All right, four Giada, I like it. Four Resplendent Angel, I like it. Four Righteous Valkyrie, I like it. Four Bishop of Wings, I like it. Four Youthful Valkyrie. I don't like this card. I gotta tell you, I do not like Youthful Valkyrie.
Wow, okay, interesting. I do like it a lot.
I prefer the two white mana whenever you gain life, put a +1/+1 counter on it. When it has four, it has flying and
digital. Oh, Voice of the Blessed. 10.
Thank you. I prefer Voice of the Blessed in this spot instead myself. Especially if you're running two Lunark Veteran.
Yep.
The Lunark Veteran's going to be gaining you life. So I personally prefer that. I understand why people run the Valkyrie. I like the Voice of the Blessed instead. This also runs two Inspiring Overseer, two Speaker of the Heavens, one Prosperous Innkeeper, which I don't personally run, but I understand it. But again, if you're running Prosperous Innkeeper, why not be running the Voice of the Blessed?
Yeah.
One Realmwalker, which again, I don't run, but I understand why people run it, and one Skyclave Apparition, which I run more than one Skyclave Apparition. One Portable Hole, which, again, I don't run this card, but I understand why people run it. I also run and play this in best of one, not best of three. So, different things. Two Kyla's Reconstruction and four Collected Company. And then your regular bunch of lands. Sideboard, two Redain. Okay, I like that. Two Rest in Peace. Two Shaper's Sanctuary. I like that. One Faithful Absence. One Heroic Intervention. One Masked Vandal. Changeling enters the battlefield. Exile a creature from your graveyard. Exile. All right. So it destroys an artifact or enchantment. All right. Mm-hmm. Exiles it. One Pithing Needle. One Declaration in Stone. One of podcast's pet card, Archon of Emeria. One
yes.
Portable Hole. One Ajani Strength of the Pride. And one Yashar. Okay. I get that. I understand that sideboard, I guess. I would have to play this in best of three a bit to understand exactly what I would need to be sideboarding with, and four. But this is definitely my style deck. And again, I would replace the Youthful Valkyrie just with the Voice of the Blessed. I think it's a better card.
Yeah, I can definitely... I didn't realize it wasn't playing that card.
It's not playing that card at all. None of the lists do. And I don't know why. I love getting into the conversations of, okay, why are you running this card over this? Give me the cold, hard facts of why. Because for the most part, when you're playing an angel, you're gaining life.
Usually.
Not always. Yeah. Not always, but for the most part. And yeah, I much prefer that card, especially if you're running Prosperous Innkeepers too. You've got many ways to be gaining just the one life that it seems worth it to me. All right, I'm off my soapbox.
Okay, in fourth place, Azorius Control came in.
Ew.
I know. Ew. It's got six planes.
Every part of this.
Six planeswalkers, three wandering emperors, and three Teferi Hero of Dominaria.
Gross.
One Behold the Multiverse, two Dovin's Veto, two Fateful Absence, one Farewell, three Censor, one Saw It Coming, three Supreme Verdict, two Memory Deluge, two March of Otherworldly Light, four Absorb, two Make Disappear, two Temporary Lockdowns, three Shark Typhoons.
So you're winning with Shark Typhoon, huh? And Wandering Emperor tokens.
Or Teferi, yep.
Yeah, this is a boring deck.
Oh my god. I don't like playing on the back foot. And I feel like that's what this one always is. It's just responding to what the opponent's doing and then waiting till the end of the game to win.
Sideboard has one Dream Trawler, one Hullbreaker Horror, one Lyra Dawnbringer, one Baneslayer Angel. F that. That's all I'm saying. F that.
Well, because you know they're going to take out all of their creature removal after game one.
Correct, exactly.
And so then you just turn into the aggressive deck with a Baneslayer Angel on turn 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
Busted.
Dream Trawler, let's go. Yeah, hate this deck. This deck will never be imported into Arena in my account. That's for sure.
Oh, that's funny.
Next up says Bant Tempo.
Yeah, it's not. I wouldn't call this Bant Tempo.
Tempo? All right. Let's see. Four Mausoleum Rondors, four Rattle Chains, four Shacklegeist, four Spellqueller. They were wondering if there was going to be any cards from.
Shadows
of Rinnestrad.
Here we are.
Here we go. Four Supreme Phantom. Yeah, this is
Bant Spirits?
Bant Spirits?
Yes, this is Bant Spirits.
Three Skyclave Apparition, two Empyrean Eagle. Oh, it's a spirit. Okay, I'm like, two Empyrean Eagle. It's a spirit. Okay, other creatures you control with flying get +1/+1. Gross. Two Selfless Spirit, two Spectral Sailor, one Cemetery Illuminator, one Glasspool Mimic, four Collected Company, and two Lofty Denial. This is Bant Spirits, baby. Hello, let's go. This is, like, almost modern Bant Spirits from, like, 4 or 5 years ago.
That's the full Pioneer Bant Spirits list.
This is the full Pioneer Bant Spirits list?
I'm fairly certain it's not missing anything anymore.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy.
Like, I can't think of anything that it's missing.
I haven't played Ladder since Shadows Over Innistrad came out, I'll be honest with you. So this deck would ruin me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ruin me. That's good. I like that.
This next one seems like a lot of fun.
Mid-range as well.
Oh, yeah. I just was going to skip over the second little mid-range because it's the exact same 75. Okay. The next one's Jeskai Combo.
Okay.
Two Luka Coppercoat Outcast. That's the old Luka before...
Okay, yep. All right, so your plan is to do creatures into what, Agent of Treachery?
Yes, three Agent of Treacheries, yep.
Yep. It's that's gross.
Four Wandering Emperor, four Fable of the Mirror Breaker.
Oh my god, the backside of Fable of the Mirror Breaker making a copy of Agent of Treachery?
You're going to be controlling so much of your opponent's stuff.
Oh my god, and drawing 3, 6, 9 cards?
Yes, right?
Oh god.
It's also got three Supreme Verdict, four Fire Prophecy, four Transmogrify, four Make Disappear, four Soul Partition. So basically, control the game, get a token out, transmogrify it.
Yep.
It's got four Omen of the Sea, four Shark Typhoon, four Wedding Announcement. It just seems so...
Shark Typhoon in this deck is so good.
Yeah, it does everything. Does everything you want. Sideboard is Titan of Industry, Yorion, Deafening Clarion, Dovin's Veto, Rending Volley.
I'm going to play something that the Agent of Treachery isn't going to really help with Titan of Industry to destroy it.
Mm-hmm. And it is a Yorion deck, so it's an 80-card deck.
Hmm?
It's an 80-card deck, because it is a Yorion deck.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, because you're going to transmogrify and then hit your agent.
Mm-hmm. Yep, correct, exactly. That's gross. That's a good deck.
That is a that, very good
like
deck.
Like you said, that looks like fun to play.
No.
And the last one on the list we have here is Rakdos Sacrifice. Oh, yeah. If you've ever heard of a Rakdos Sacrifice deck in Explorer, this is it. Got a Companion of Jangatha, because probably only because it can. 4 Cauldron Familiar, 4 Mayhem Devil, 4 Blood Tithe Harvester, 4 Unlucky Witness, 2 Priest of the Forgotten Gods, 1 Kroxa, 4 Witch's Oven, 4 Fable of the Marrowbreaker, because it's a red deck. 3 Claim the Firstborn, 1 Eaten Alive. It's additional cost to play this spell, sack a creature, or pay 3 into black. 1 black mana, exile target creature or planeswalker. Yeah, that's gross.
Mm-hmm.
4 Deadly Dispute, 3 Fatal Push. Wow. Yep.
Seems like a very strong deck there, too.
That's your Rakdos Sacrifice deck. I'm surprised it came in only 8th, to be honest with you. I guess there was 148 places. So.
Yeah. Making top 8 in a 148 player event is very good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and as I'm looking down the rest of these real quick, Dimir Control, Mono Black Midrange, Mono White Humans, Azorius Aggro, 5 Colored Fires, 5 Color Fires, Rakdos Midrange. I've got to go down to 14th to get the second repeat of a deck.
Besides Gruul Midrange. Which was 2 in the top 8.
That's what I mean, the second.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah,
Explorer seems to be in a good spot right now.
Very, very wide open on what you want to be playing in Explorer. Do what I don't see on here at all, though? Oh, no, I got to go down to 17th place to see a mono-red aggro list.
Hmm.
And that mono-red aggro list is running for Fable of the Mirrorbreaker.
I didn't see any mono-green devotion, either. In the top 8, at least.
Yeah, no, and not in the top 25.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't think the mono green devotion in Explorer is as good as it is in Historic.
Yeah. Yep, agreed. So you can find the Filthy Net Tickers podcast on all social media. Follow us everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok for real. Like, I mean, we used to make jokes about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me at MTG_Tony or Nate at Darth Heretic on Twitter. On TikTok, I am Tony the Magic Man. Make sure you give me a follow there, please. Patreon.com/FilthyNetDeckers if you want to join the greatest people on this earth and help support this podcast. If you like what you're listening to, we would really appreciate it if you helped. I want to thank everybody. Feel free to share your deck list with us. It makes our jobs that much easier, even if I make fun of it and tell you what a bad job you did. Send it to me anyway. I will give it a try.
Because it's Matt, and we love Matt.
Listen, when you've gone to a doctor's office with Matt before, you're allowed to make jokes of them, okay?
And with that,
have
a good night.
That's it. We're done.
Bye.
Bye.